Most people are unaware that one of the biggest earthquakes in the history of the United States actually occurred not far from St. Louis.
New Madrid Fault, right?
That's right, the New Madrid Fault. And we've talked about this before, but for those of your listeners who haven't heard it, basically between 1811 and 1812, there was a series of enormous earthquakes that occurred around St. Louis, and they were at least 8.0 or higher on the Richter scale compared to, for example, 6.5, which was the last San Francisco earthquake. So you can just imagine that this was at least 100 times more powerful than what occurred in San Francisco. And this quake was felt across almost the entire continental United States. It changed the course of the Mississippi River. Had it flowing one direction, and after the earthquake it was flowing in another.
It went back up north, didn't it?
That's correct. And yet, it is relatively unknown because the area was quite sparsely populated at that time, and so really no one paid that much attention to it despite its enormous magnitude. Now, if that same event were to occur today in the same location, you can just imagine the type of damage and loss of life that would occur. And yet, most people who live in that area of the world are blissfully unaware of the risk that this poses, and that is witnessed by the fact that, for example, most buildings are not built to any type of specification in the area that would stand that type of shock. So that is your kind of classic example that we have in the United States, where people are really not aware that the biggest earthquake risk in terms of potential damage is not along the west coast of the United States, but in fact, almost in the middle of the country. Now,
you know, Douglas, most people, I've got to tell you this story, most people have seen the St. Louis Arch either whenever they're taking pictures of St. Louis Cardinal baseball or football games. You know, the networks always show the arch. So if people haven't been to St. Louis, they probably have seen it on television. Well, a lot of people might not know it, but the arch, of course, is very close to the banks of the Mississippi, and you can go up it. They have like a little conveyor elevator
yep.
that kind of goes up the arm of the arch, and it curves, so it kind of clicks, and you're always feeling as if you're going straight, but the thing curves. Anyway, you get on the top of this thing, Douglas, you can go inside the arch, you get out of this little elevator, and I'm telling you, when you're up there, it sways. You can feel the motion. And I've always wondered, if a major earthquake hit like the one you just said, would that knock the arch down? What do you think?
Well, you know, oddly enough, those types of structures are probably better attuned because of their height to deal with the frequency of waves than a lot of the lower structures. It's actually the lower structures that most of us live in. You know what they say? They say earthquakes don't kill people, buildings do.
Yeah.
And that is extremely true in that area because the lower buildings are just not constructed to withstand that kind of shock. So ironically, a lot of these higher structures actually are built at a so-called period of wave that can withstand these types of shocks. Of course, at 8.0 on the Richter scale, one only can imagine whether or not the thing would still stand up, but that would be the least of people's problems at that point. And I think that it's such a good example because it really shows that here we have something that's staring us in the face that we know happens regularly once every century or so, and yet, looking at situations like we just saw, for example, with Hurricane Katrina, we know that these things occur, and yet our leaders repeatedly seem unable to fathom this risk that is staring them in the face. And so what do? They wait until it comes along, and even after it comes along, and even after all of this has happened, they still seem incapable of fixing the problem or dealing with what might come along the next time.
Well, and they can't fix the problem, as demonstrated with Katrina.
No, and the point is that this book that I wrote several years ago now, Our Molecular Future, was directed at two things. The first thing was to inform people, and your program has been very good at this, and we're now seeing that this is becoming mainstream, that the convergence of nanotechnology and robotics and genetics and artificial intelligence is resulting in this dramatic acceleration of technology. So that's the first thing. But the next thing is that because of this, for the first time, we may actually be able to develop technologies that help us to withstand and recover from these disasters very quickly. And for example, in the case of earthquakes, all you need to do is look at these new materials that are being developed. And one example that I always use is something called aerogels. Now, aerogels were those little things that were actually in the Stardust aircraft, spacecraft that just came back from space gathering these particles from comets.
That's what captured the Stardust, right?
Yeah, now aerogels are 99% air, but the nice thing about them is that they are super strong and super flexible. And recently, aerogels have been reinvented with nanotechnology, making them 100 times more strong and flexible than conventional aerogels, which used to suffer from brittleness. Now, the genius about these new materials is that you can use them for wall coverings, but they become structural materials. You can use them for window coverings because they're transparent. And guess what? All of a sudden, you have an affordable material that can be used in construction that can withstand a lot of these pressures from hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes that before we could never ramp up on a massive scale and make affordable for the whole population, you know, to put in your own home. So those are the kinds of developments that are occurring right now before our eyes that are coming into the marketplace. Do you hear any of our politicians talking about a program where FEMA, for example, would roll something like this out? Or that perhaps subsidies would be given to the construction industry to increase the adoption level for these types of new technologies?
Nope.
No. There is a giant disconnect between our leadership, our emergency response agencies, and the new technologies that are coming online. And that is the message that I brought out in Our Molecular Future several years ago now, and even now, I have to say, you know, after I've written another book after that, that book is actually more current when we see what's happened with Katrina. We see the risk of what could happen with the New Madrid Fault.